Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
All right, game six tonight for the Rockets, 8 o'clock tip, trying to even this series at 3, bring it back home for a game seven. That would be a very fun Sunday. A Lance McCullers return for the Astros and a game seven for the Rockets. We pray for that. That would be fantastic. As far as things, keys to this game or keys to this series, I'm just looking. You and I have scratched a bunch of notes down here, Seth, about this thing. One of the ones we didn't touch on early in the show when we were talking about this, and I think this is one that you had in here, and I think it's an interesting X factor, that this is the stage of the series where there's only one day in between games.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cross-country travel going on right now that would seemingly be more agreeable with younger legs than older legs. And the most important legs for the Rockets are the younger legs on this. They've got some older guys. Obviously, the three most important guys for the Warriors are all well above the age of 30 right now. So does the travel, the lack of off days, the fact that from an intensity standpoint, this is not a great matchup for an older team because the Rockets play you all 94 feet of the floor. They're very intense defensively. Effort's never an issue for the Rockets. Is that something that eventually catches up with the Warriors here? I think it's probably something to watch tonight. In a way, the Rockets blowing the Warriors out the way that they did in Game 5, in a weird way, may have done the Warriors a small favor, wherein if you're going to lose, at least lose in a way where your main guys aren't playing the last 18 minutes of the game running up and down the floor. They got a lot of rest, you know?
It's the playoff experience and history of performing in clutch time that the Warriors have versus the youth and exuberance of a lot of the key younger players. And that's where I think the X factor in a lot of ways just comes down to Fred VanVleet. I think the youth and aggressiveness, and then, you know, Steven Adams is part of the big man lineup, but obviously is an older guy that can only play so many minutes. But when you use the big man lineup, having Şengün and Jabari Smith Jr. and their ability to make life uncomfortable for the Warriors offense, and then, you know, Jalen Green and whether he plays the way he did in Game 5, it's still the Jalen Green side, the youth can be either a benefit or a deficit. Mm-hmm. It can either be that, man, he's got all that energy, he's fresh, etc., but he's just got to stay settled down and play the way he did there. Fred VanVleet was shooting 28% from three in the first three games, and now he's been at, what, 60% over the last couple games? Yep. The high 60%.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be in the high 60s, but Fred VanVleet is a guy who's not wasting shots and is a guy who can be effective offensively and just run the show. That's probably the biggest X factor. I expect a lot of the good things the Rockets did in Game 5 to continue in Game 6.
That's a good one. Like, who's the guy, who's the barometer for the team? And it might be Fred VanVleet in that if he has, you know, he had a great game, they all did, in Game 5. He had a great, great game in Game 4, and if they can make some free throws, they probably win that game too. You know, that also, not Game 2, but that game also.
He was VanVleet was 21%, excuse me, 21% from the three-point line in the first three games, and then 67% in games four and five. And you don't look, he didn't have to be 67% in those last two games to have the blowout win in game five.
Right.
But it's just having, if he can be above average or even average from three, and as long as Jalen Green plays exactly the same way he did in the first half before his, you know, before his knee got banged up, where he didn't turn the ball over at all. He made good decisions on when to kick it out. He didn't panic or freak out when he got blitzed. All of that. That's all he has to do. He doesn't there's got to be zero part of Jalen Green that goes into this game thinking that it needs to be on
gotta
him
be the guy.
Or
yeah.
that he needs to be a hero or that he needs to drive into traffic at all costs. He's just got to do exactly what he did in game 5 and in game 2.
Yep. Okay, so this screamer at the game on the other night.
Oh my gosh.
I only saw this on the internet yesterday. I didn't. I watched the local feed, the Space City Home Network feed.
I think it was on both feeds.
Yeah, I didn't hear it.
It wasn't as loud all the time as you're about to hear, but it was constant throughout the game, or at least in the first half. There was somebody screaming in Toyota Center, and it was honestly the most annoying sound I've ever heard at any sporting venue. I would include that train whistle guy in New Orleans. I would include
what about the drums in Oakland back in the day?
I like the drums in Oakland.
You do? Even though they're playing it the whole game, you like
it? Yeah, I like those. It was kind of let you know you were watching the A's.
You disgust me. Okay.
I liked the drums.
You did?
It wasn't annoying. It was kind of, especially a lot of times when you're watching the A's, like what else? There's not a lot to, other
That's
else
fair.
To get excited
yeah,
about.
No, that is true.
Okay, so for those of you, I apologize to those of you who have heard this and various people told me they had to turn the game volume off during free throws.
Wow.
This was going on pretty much the entire first half at least.
Dennis.
Well, Spiro and Candace, I love our conversation game, but now per our conversation with Steve, you're fighting with these guys being seated so long, Candace, so now they're a little stiffer and not in the flow of the game. I don't think Steve Kerr would take that chance knowing that game 6 you can definitely play.
Okay, So
well, are you couldn't hear that?
Well, I couldn't.
It was just Sean. Once you identify it, it's impossible to ignore it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I heard like a pitchy noise in the back. Just sounded like a long like.
Yes, because yeah, you'll think it takes you for a while. That's where it gets your attention. You're like, is that a human or is my TV screwed up?
Can we do it one more time? If I apologize.
Yeah. I'm astounded that you didn't identify. I immediately freak out over it.
Okay.
Dennis.
Well, Spiro and Candace, I love our conversation. But now, per our conversation with Steve, you're fighting with these guys being seated so long, Candace. So now they're a little stiffer.
No, Ben, I got it. Okay, I was expecting more of like a shriek that was not as constant. You know, that sounded like a test signal on TV.
It was like when you woke up at 2 a.m. back in the day and the bars were on your TV screen.
Rainbow bars, like, yeah. Yeah.
You can't keep sleeping through
that. Do we know the identity of this person? Do we know if it's
not
a man
that
or a woman?
I've seen. I thought that the person, I'm assuming it was a woman.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a child. If it was a child, I don't want to expose the kid or anything.
Yeah, right.
It was a lot, man. I don't know about anybody sitting near the person in the, and I'm trying to think, I was like, okay, maybe I'm not watching often enough with the sound on that this is common. And no, it was really annoying. And yet, few people made this point. Whatever was working at Toyota Center was working.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, the clip that we just played, it was somebody had put it on the internet. It was when everybody, Warriors and Rockets alike, were standing at the foul line, like looking off into the stands. Somebody on the bench was like looking behind him. What the hell's going on? Yeah.
Okay, well, this is where...
I'd like input from our listeners. Is that just only a few select ones of us that heard it and were annoyed by it? Or was it as widespread as I felt it should have been?
Well, you know, Seth, that when I'm at sporting events, that I am the hero that everybody needs. And if there's something going on negative in the radius around me, I'm not afraid to go find an usher or somebody to say, hey, can we put a stop to this either smell or behavior here? If you recall, I was the one who, sitting right behind the bullpen at Minute Maid Park, a couple 12 or 13-year-old youngsters came down, sat in empty seats next to me and Amy and several other people there that were not their seats, and they smelled like they hadn't bathed in about a week. They stunk.
Yeah.
And I wasn't the only one that noticed. What did I do? the hero that I am, and I know several of you called me a Karen after I did this, but I went and got the usher and said, they shouldn't be sitting in those seats. Those aren't their seats. I didn't make any comment about that they stunk, and if they had bathed, I probably would have let them sit there. So my question is, should the screamer be allowed to remain in their seats if they're being that big a distraction to everybody
it's
there?
It's a dicey one. Like,
they're affecting the enjoyment of thousands of people at that moment.
Do you penalize a fan for being too exuberant? That's a tough one.
Is that even exuberance? They're just screaming at the top of their lungs, like, with no context.
When I posted it, a lot of Rockets fans, Zep 1978, said we had to put the game on mute during the stream. Yeah. Drew Miller says literally had to mute every Rockets free throw. It was, I don't know what to do about it other than just complain about it on the radio.
Neither,
hope
man.
That somebody exerts some gentle pressure on that person to just please give your vocal cords a break for your own sake. That can't be healthy.
Right. I mean, hopefully this is an issue soon because it means they got to a game seven. You know, like if they lose tonight, then who cares? Yeah.
Are our texters weighing in yet? Did other people notice that wide scale?
I'll check right now. Someone says, bring the noise. Someone says, I heard her the entire time. It was definitely widespread. I thought my radio was messing up. It was so loud.
It was on the radio, too.
You can hear it on the radio, I guess. Obnoxious behavior. I heard it the whole game. These are all different texts. This is not one long text. She was so damn annoying. I absolutely heard it, and hearing it at the end of the fourth quarter when the bench is out taking free throws was ridiculous. That's my thing. If you're screaming like that when it's 30, when there's not a single starter in the game and they're shooting free throws.
And when other people are yelling.
Yeah.
You know, in the fourth quarter, I didn't watch in real time for most of the second half. I had to get to bed to do a radio show.
Yeah.
And I perhaps foolishly just assumed that the Rockets were going to win the game.
Yeah, I was going to say, you missed an intriguing fourth quarter. Yeah.
I took a leap of faith. Yes. Yeah.
Someone said it sounded way worse on the local broadcast. I didn't hear it. It's weird. Maybe it's a dog whistle kind of thing, you know?
You multitask a lot while you're watching games.
I do.
You've got multiple screens on and everything. So you don't, you don't pick up on a lot of this stuff
it's
sometimes.
It's true. You
didn't even know about the existence of river dancing. That's how little you're paying attention to the actual television.
Because I was so focused on preparing for my radio show, I would ultimately get 25 years later after the river dance was a thing.
Well, right. Whatever you're focused on at the time, you're looking at your race sheets or what have you.
That's probably true. I probably had my like preseason football gambling magazine out, and my buddies.
I got Johnny Knickers in the third tomorrow.
My buddies that I was living with at the time were probably standing next to me doing the river dance, and I didn't even notice. That's funny. A lot of people weighing in on. Boy, a lot of people weighing in. I heard her the entire time. The very annoying. I'm throwing my beer on her. Well, don't start anything with her. You know, just I. That's my question. Like, is that? I don't know what the answer to that is. Like, is that something, I guess you start with politely requesting, ma'am, like, this is, the screaming's a little much. I'm speaking for everybody around me here. The screaming's a little much. And then you hope that doesn't start anything. But then with some people, it could go either way. She either stops or she starts doing it even more, you know?
Or then she gets belligerent about, oh, you don't want me to show enthusiasm? Like, no, I want you to show enthusiasm. But in the appropriate way.
Yeah.
You know, in a way that 99.99999% of other sports fans do.
Yeah.
Which is not screaming like a banshee in the most annoying tone ever. You're Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
It's the most annoying sound in the world. No, don't show enthusiasm that way.
Sean tells people.
It's like when you're a dictator and you're like, I'm going to just show my patriotism. How are you going to do that? By invading other countries and killing 10% of my own population.
She's
a mouse. Your mouse at tongue.
She's Mussolini.
That's what you are. You're no better than Mao.
Text message. Sean tells people to sit down at playoff games. All right, if this is going to turn into the Karen things that I do. Tells people to sit down at playoff games. No, I'm not a tell people to sit down. I am somebody. I'll stand up. But I think standing up is a thing that is only done at appropriate times as well during games.
I need feedback on this.
Okay.
I feel like this is the problem that has entered society in the last 10 years that is silently destroying many of us.
Wow.
Okay. For those of you who still go to movies.
Mm.
Okay. This is hard. We have a movie theater right across from our studio. We're very lucky in that regard.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really one of the reasons I chose this station to ply my trade. Yeah. So, and I my show is over at 10.
Yeah, I was going to say, and morning radio, yes.
I like to go over and watch a matinee now and then, especially for movies that I know Brandy's not going to like. Yeah. I'm just going to go, I'm going to get a tub of popcorn, and I'm going to enjoy a movie the way it was meant to be enjoyed. So when you go to a movie at 1 p.m. in the afternoon on a weekday,
yeah.
There's not many people in there. But now with movie theaters, they have assigned seating.
Yeah.
So you go, you select your seat. Yeah. Okay, there I am, smack dab in the middle of the theater. And there's only like 7 people in the theater, whatever.
You can
I
see
want
which
seat.
Seats. Yeah, you can see all the seats that are already taken, right?
So I go in, and this has happened multiple times. There's somebody sitting in a seat, like either my seat or just directly next to my seat,
yeah.
Which clearly they're not sitting in their assigned seat. My first thought, I think like most people, is, all right, no big deal. Like, it's not the end of the world. I'm not going to make a big deal out of this. I'll sit somewhere else. But then the problem becomes that then I'm going to be sitting in somebody else's seat, yeah. Potentially, that's going to walk in, and then maybe they do have an issue with me sitting in their seat.
Right.
Or they just really wanted that seat, and they're not going to make a big deal out of it. And I get very, like, I get torn. I don't want to be a Karen in that regard.
No.
But I feel like, come on, man. I had a chance to pick your seat.
Yeah.
Were you just so lazy about it and stupid that you couldn't just pick the... You're pressing a button on the screen.
Yeah. This is
what do I do?
I would say, okay, you're right. That person is being a bad person by just not sitting in their seat or selecting a seat right next to somebody. Like, even if that is their seat, like, what are you doing, dude? Like,
exactly. Right? Yeah, maybe they selected that seat after I had selected mine, which is still, it's unlikely they'd be that stupid.
Yeah, I think it is I think it's a percentage of the theater that's filled. If it literally is only like 6 people in the theater, in a 200-person theater, I would just go find another seat and not worry about it too much.
Okay, but now this is where I am actually starting to get kind of PO'd at the person themselves because, I pick the seat that was dead center where I want to sit. And if you want the benefits of an empty theater, it's like, okay, I want to be able to sit in where, like, you know, out of farting range at least.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
And then, like, okay, no, now I'm going to be sitting in a seat that all I did was press a button on the screen, and there, that's my seat.
Yeah.
But you decided to supersede that and go in and okay, now I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to get, all right, I'm totally going to care.
Now, the funny thing would be, here's the thing. Let's say this person's sitting in your seat in a nearly empty theater, and you choose to walk up and say, hey, that's my seat. The excuse I would give is, this is the view that I chose right here. I like sitting here.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. Like, this is the view I wanted.
Of the screen.
I selected it.
Yeah.
Why are you here?
Why are you sitting in this seat? Now, the risk you run is that they only move like 2 seats down from you in a nearly empty theater.
And then you're in a hole.
Like, there is a certain distance they then need to move to where I'm comfortable. Like, at least 7 seats away from me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Farting radius is a valid thing. I hadn't thought about that. But that's
The most uncomfortable situation I ever had in a movie theater was Brandy and I were in a pretty packed theater. We came in and sat down, and there was.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
A woman who had her foot up between the, like, on the armrest between Brandy and I.
Yeah.
And I just turned around and I was like, would you mind moving your feet, please? And she did. And with a harump said, after I turned back around, said, could have sat anywhere in the theater.
Oh.
And I'm looking around. I'm like, I turned around. I was like, hey, ma'am. No, we couldn't. There's quite a few people in here.
Yeah.
And B, if you had found somebody to come watch this movie with you, I think they would agree with me.
Yeah.
Because she was alone.
Ooh, she was by herself. if you had any friends, that's how you really stick the knife in. If you had any friends, you would.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. All right. Movie theater etiquette. Help Seth out with this. I don't have a great answer for it, but what do you do?
I've already, you know what? I don't need the advice. From now on, I'm doing it. I'm just going to say, listen, man.
My seat.
I wanted to sit here. I chose this seat because I was in the middle,
I like the view from this seat. Yeah. That's what it is right there. All right, Charles Barkley is worried about his good friend Bill Belichick. And this is, okay, is this out of bounds? Kirk Minahane is a host up in Boston. Used to be on the radio. Now he streams. Called Michael Lombardi on the phone to ask about Bill Belichick's girlfriend. Mike Lombardi is Bill Belichick's GM at the University of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Is this out of bounds? Wait till you hear how this call went down. We'll have that for you coming up next. I wonder if I'm in trouble. My wife just texted me, Seth. Amy just texted me. I had told you I had not heard the screamer at the Rockets game. Like, I just didn't register.
It was driving me and many of our listeners insane.
Yeah.
Because it was shrill and it was nonstop.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I said to you, well, that's news to it was news to me until I saw it on the internet yesterday. Just got a text from my wife. OMG, I commented about the screamer to you. Every time the Rockets would be at the free throw line, she was screaming. I even tweeted out that I would punch her, and she sent me a copy of the tweet where she threatened physical violence on the screamer. So apparently my wife, who was sitting 3 feet away from me while watching the game, commented to me about the screamer. My reply to her, because as you point out, Seth, I watch the game with other surfaces open. I have my laptop and my phone, and I'm multitasking. I said, see how focused I was on making sure I'm successful? She laughed. She thought that was funny.
Yeah, she's...
knew what she was getting into. We were dating for 8 years before we got engaged. She knew what she was getting into, Amy did.
What was the other thing that I had brought up once that was news to you, but was something that Amy had actually had like a... Oh, I had brought up Tillman Fertitta's plane. And the Astros are flying. The Astros jet is the Rockets'
it's Tillman's old jet.
Old jet,
yeah.
And I had said that, and you were like, oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And Amy texted you that you and Vanessa Richardson had an actual conversation
A long conversation at Lizards about that. Well, that's where I just plead drunkenness on that one. You know, like But yes, we did. She's like, you, me, and Vanessa talked about the new plane for a good 10 minutes the other night. It's tough getting old, man, I tell you. People are weighing in on your movie theater situation. We will get to that in just a second. Seth had a situation. Charles Barkley, Bill Belichick. This was interesting to me. There's people that are legit concerned about Bill Belichick and this Jordan Hudson, this girlfriend
of his. It's not just this most recent thing where there was a contentious interview with CBS, the CBS News or CBS Morning Show, whatever it is on the weekend, that people around UNC have kind of started to raise an eyebrow about how involved she is with the program. And the way in which she's involved.
Yes, even some
she seems to be like one of these overly aggressive types.
Big time.
That is a PR type person that just wants to try to control the message all the time.
Yep. Yeah. Charles Barkley was on the Dan Patrick Show. He's worried about his friend.
He's been a great friend for me for a long time. We've been friends since he coached for the Browns. I think he got to be very careful right now. This is starting to be on a very slippery slope. He's the greatest football coach ever for him and Nick Saban, for college Nick Saban, for Bill, the NFL. Yeah, I from what I'm hearing, it's starting to be a very slippery slope. And I never talk about people's personal relationship. That's another rule I got. But I will admit, I'm a little concerned with some of the stuff that's going on. And I might actually reach out to him and make sure everything's good. But I am concerned from what I'm hearing. Because, it's not a good look right now. I'll admit that.
That's funny. I wonder how many friends are reaching out to Belichick just like either via text or phone like, hey, how you doing, buddy? How you been?
Yeah. It'd be tough because the Patriots have already broken up.
Yeah.
But she's got a bit of a Yoko Ono vibe going
no
on here.
No doubt, yes. That,
man, this guy is just not operating the way he typically operates, and he's got this constant presence by his side that just might genuinely love him and yet doesn't seem to be operating in the best manner for John Lennon or Bill Belichick.
Right,
I know the comparison between those two is a cliche at this point, but still.
Yeah, that's what people have been doing for years.
Between John Lennon and Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
yes.
For years. Well, what's interesting about that too, Seth, is as Bill Belichick reinforced in his statement that he put out yesterday, I think it was, maybe 2 days ago, where he was taking up for his girlfriend and saying, hey, CBS really chopped up that interview in a way to make her look bad. He did point out that they've known each other since 2021. Which is when Belichick's decision-making seemed to start going a little astray. Two things in Belichick's life: losing Nick Caserio and picking up Jordan Hudson is what. Those are the things that coincidentally, Bill Belichick started to do things like spend heavily in free agency, hire a two-headed Joe Judge, Matt Patricia as his OC, and all of it led to the demise of the Patriots dynasty.
I was texting with a friend of mine whose father had had a much younger girlfriend later in life, and I you know, I'm not saying that Belichick can or can't or should or shouldn't have a younger girlfriend, but there's a way you can go about it in which she doesn't disrupt your entire life. That's she's becoming a. For a guy who is all about eliminating and avoiding distraction, it seems to be like she's one gigantic distraction over the UNC football program. Yeah. She's become larger than the football team itself.
Yes.
And Bill Belichick in a lot of ways.
She is the most famous person associated with that program right now.
She could be 56 years old. If she's acting this way, they wouldn't be getting as much, Instagram attention and everything. Although, right. With Belichick's previous girlfriend up in New England, she was more, I guess you might call it age appropriate or whatever. And that was on social media a lot.
Sure.
But this is weird. It's really weird. I would be concerned about him. If you see a guy, you start worrying about, like, dude, you haven't changed your will yet, have you?
No.
Please tell me you haven't done anything drastic.
You know that there's a lot of people in his inner circle asking that question. All right, we got to get to this Minahan. Kirk Minahan, who used to be a radio host up in Boston. Now he streams, I believe, up there. Very successful.
Very kind of psychotic in the appropriate way for having either a radio or online presence. He's very, like, productively psychotic.
He's very on edge all the time.
He's hilarious.
So Mike Lombardi, who is, former executive with the Patriots and other teams, now he's Bill Belichick's GM at North Carolina. Minahan decided to call up Lombardi and ask him, get his take on what exactly is going on with this Jordan Hudson up there. Literally calls him on the air.
Hello?
Mike, it's Kirk Minahan from Barstool Sports. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
What's up, Kirk?
Live the tape. We have questions. We're trying to figure out all. We've been talking about it. We talked about Portnoy a minute ago. Can you explain to us what this woman's role is with UNC? We're just confused.
Actually, I'm in a meeting right now going over recruiting, so that's kind of where my focus is right now. So.
How significant a role does she have with the recruiting at this point? Is she the lead recruiter or no?
I'm in recruiting, and I'm working on that. So that's about it, Kirk. Thanks.
All right, Mike, hang in there. Good to talk to you.
Hey, you got a good truck. Yeah, you got a laugh. He picked up.
Old enemy of mine, but I think we ended okay.
Okay, so there you go. He ended okay.
He did say live to tape at the beginning.
Barely.
He said it very fast.
Yeah.
He said it very fast, yeah.
That's like the fine print. That's like the fine print on an advertisement that is in like font size 0.001.
Yeah, that's the protocol that for those of you, to explain it, the protocol is you never call somebody and just act like you're having a casual conversation,
right?
And then put it out there. That's considered very bad form and illegal if you did it on the radio. He said live to tape very quickly.
Barely. Play that first 5 seconds. Is this an appropriate warning to tell somebody that this is going to wind up on the internet?
I'm good.
Good.
What's up, Kirk?
Live the tape. We have questions. We're trying to figure out.
Ben, play with. I like it with the ring included in it, too, because that just goes to show you,
Hello?
Mike, it's Kirk Minahan from Barstool Sports. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
What's up, Kirk?
Live the tape. We have questions. We're trying to figure out all. We've been talking.
You're Lombardi. You barely hear the live to tape right there.
You know, the whole thing is, though, too, he's saying we have questions.
Yeah.
That would suggest. And Lombardi knows to have his head on a swivel. When he's Minahan's gotten Lombardi before on, prank.
Has he really?
One time he had him on a podcast, but Minahan pretended he was like a teenage vlogger.
I love that.
Whatever Lombardi's book was titled is called something like Football Genius or something. And
wow.
Minahan was, I'll tell you what it was. Gridiron Genius, a masterclass in winning.
Okay.
And Minahan was was like, why are you a genius? And
a lot of people might have that question.
Yeah, I don't think Lombardi's not going to. Lombardi knows his meal ticket is Bill Belichick.
The laugh, the uncomfortable laugh, though, might be a little telling. If we're looking to read into behavior, you know, if we were CIA agents just trying to read behavior voice intonation and uncomfortable laughing and things like that.
The biggest thing about all of this, where you might think, okay, people are trying to dredge up stuff that doesn't make any sense or what all. No. Steve Belichick, the defensive coordinator and son of Bill Belichick for the University of North Carolina Tar Heels, his wife publicly went back at Nikki Glaser saying that Jennifer Hudson was being – wait, not Jennifer.
Jordan Hudson
was basically being unprofessional and storming out of the interview. So I'm sure she has had discussions with Steve Belichick about it. It's a distraction. You got to do something. The odds that are out on this are fascinating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jimmy Shapiro sent this to us. What will Bill Belichick do next? The favorite is get a tattoo plus 180.
Plus 180, yeah.
Dye his hair blonde.
Now that would be something. Would that be the final straw? We're like, come on, bro. Like,
that would be awesome. Mullet hairstyle. His son has a mullet.
And he could pull that off.
Belichick used to.
Belichick's still got a good head of hair. He could pull that off, I think.
I think the go-to is pierce his ear.
Yes.
Or ears.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pierce his ear, just with a small one. Nothing ornate, just like stud in one of his ears.
Remember when Harrison Ford got an earring?
I do.
And it was a very, very tiny one. I feel like if you get your first earring at an advanced age, you got to go big or go home.
Yeah.
You got to get a pirate hoop or something. And you got to get both ears. Because if you're trying to be like a young... The problem with getting just in your left ear, especially if you grew up in the 80s, your left ear.
Yeah, just left ear.
If you get in one ear as an older guy, then it looks like you're really like trying to be a version of a young person in 1980. You just got to go big pirate hoop earrings in both ears.
Big hoop earrings on both, huh?
Yeah.
So you feel like there's value in plus 500 for piercing the ears there.
Yeah,
I think that's a way better chance of that than dye hair blonde. At plus 250, I would take
dying the hair blonde would be epic. Though.
Oh, that's the one I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for the dying the hair blonde. Yeah,
if he dyed his hair blonde and then also grew out a beard and dyed it jet black,
or with like tiger stripes, you know, like with a blonde strip down the middle, but the rest is like a black Fu Manchu kind of thing.
This is honestly though, realistically, I think the most realistic one might be that he's gonna wear his trademark shredded up sweatshirt.
Yeah.
But it's going to be stylishly ripped.
Oh,
it's going to
be,
he's going to be out there.
Thing.
And with that, yeah, or you're going to catch him wearing like ripped and tattered jeans, but done so stylishly.
Yeah, yeah.
The Jordan Hudson paid like $500 for a pair of ripped jeans or
for
something.
Sure. That to the jeans is happening. Like ripped jeans.
She's going to tell him, she's going to like, listen, I know that's your trademark and everything, but let's just, you know, you got to appeal to a younger generation now. Let's have you stylishly ripped and tattered.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We will go back to our text page here in a minute because some of you have advice to Seth for his movie theater issue. We'll get to that. Is this how you passive-aggressively treat a star player who's out of shape in the postseason? We will get to that coming up next. All right, here was this is the audio that's been making the rounds the last 24 hours in the NBA. This was J.J. Redick yesterday in his postseason kind of a post-mortem to the season after the Lakers got knocked out of the playoffs press conference. And see if you can figure out who he might be referring to here when he talks about what the team needs to change going into next season.
The work that's required in an offseason to be in championship shape. And, you know, we have a ways to go as a roster. And certainly there are individuals that were in phenomenal shape. There's certainly other ones that could have been in better shape. That's where my mind goes immediately is you know, we have to get in championship shape.
We have to get
So he's talking about Doncic.
Absolutely,
at the very least. At the very least, it's Doncic. It is amazing when you watch Doncic in that James Harden, who would have accusations about not being in shape at various times in his career. It's interesting because for him, he's got a physique that's kind of a, it's by guard standards, kind of a muscular physique, you know. As fast as he is, he's still like almost, he's not stocky, but he's a bigger guy.
Yeah.
That even when he might put on some weight, but at least it still looks like a basketball player. Doncic, especially when he's just hanging around before an inbound or something, like he looks like a guy.
He looks tired. He just looks like a guy. He looks fatigued.
But his physique, he just looks like a guy.
Yeah.
That you can get away with if you just look like a 6'10" guy. You know, it's not like Dirk ever looked like he was in phenomenal shape or anything.
Oh, he's skinnier though. Yeah.
But is it right? Yeah. But with Doncic, it's funny. It's not like what he needs to do is run a bunch of suicides after every practice or anything. He just needs to stop eating whatever he's eating.
Yeah, yeah.
He just needs to switch up his diet a little bit. It's as simple as that. And maybe cut back just a beer or two, perhaps, every now and then.
It doesn't help him either that he's in a sport where your shoulders and the backs of your arms are exposed. Like, yeah, that is a part of your body, like, that is, it's very underrated in terms of, if you lack definition there, if it's just a straight curve down from your shoulder to your elbow, if it's smooth, to use a word you like to use, if you're smooth, then it's a bad look. There was a video that popped up.
It also doesn't look like a let up 38 points defensively.
There's plenty of that going around on the internet. Yeah. Like, geez, look at Doncic.
The actual play.
Show some pride, my God. But there was a video I saw this morning of early Doncic, like rookie year Doncic, and he looks like a different person, which a lot of players do from their rookie year, but this is not in a good way. Like Steph Curry, if you go back and watch Steph coming into the league, he was very spindly and skinny. Like, they didn't have a great weight program at Davidson University. But he since then has, like, Steph has put on a lot of good weight. Like, he's, you know, for his physique, he's got decent muscle. CJ even said last week he's kind of swole, Steph is.
Who was it we were talking about yesterday where I said, oh, what if you came to America and got put on the standard American diet?
I don't remember.
Ben might remember this.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It was whoever it was. It was going to be a different version
of
that.
Ben's got nothing, he said.
One of our listeners will remember.
Okay.
But I think likewise, you could probably blame a little bit of it on, you know, Doncic coming over to America and getting the heavy dosage of just mass quantities available at any place you go. It's just the land of plenty we are.
Barbecue and Tex-Mex. Checkmate. You're done, pal. Yeah, you eat wrong off of those menus, and this is what happens. You end up grabbing the bottom of your shorts there and leaning over for the entire third and fourth quarter of NBA playoff games.
He's got a plumber's butt.
He does.
As an NBA player.
He does.
Now, this is where I have an issue with Redick, though, too, because Redick's faced a lot of scrutiny and criticism for playing the starters the entire second half of game 4.
Yeah.
As he should. Does Redick expect that at some point he's going to have a team full of guys, which include one basketball player who's in his 40s in LeBron James, that we need to be in good enough shape that I can screw up the rotations and substitutions and have the guys play the entire second half of a freaking playoff game?
Yeah, they drafted.
Yeah, like, okay, stop trying to deflect blame by fat-shaming Doncic, okay?
Why are the Lakers,
he's got an issue.
Why are the Lakers drafting cross-country runners? This is very, very strange. Why are they doing this? They need to be in good shape.
Do we have any reports of athletes using Ozempic or any of those similar types of drugs?
Yeah, I don't know. Not that I know of, but I
would imagine at some point some offensive lineman's going to try it.
I would think so, right?
You know, the tricky thing with Ozempic is that people, they don't get enough protein a lot of times because you don't have it. So they're not eating nearly as much, but you got to take a lot of care to really be sure you get enough protein.
Yeah.
So I wonder, even for overweight athletes, they do need a genuinely high baseline of calories.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not as much as they're consuming. But a guy can be taking in 5,000 calories a day, and that's what you need to actually stay lean as an offensive lineman.
It might be
tricky to balance that out, like, because it just... people just don't want to eat when they're
on it. Could be on the banned list, right? Because some guys might need it, like, you know, they might need
it
medically.
You're going to make a medical exemption.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, and it's not like a you know, testosterone, like hormone or anything.
Right.
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff on the banned list that isn't a stimulant or a hormone, so I don't know.
Yep. Okay, we got people weighing in. Seth brought up an issue earlier. You like to go to matinees because we have a movie theater right across the street from the studio here.
Yeah.
And it's reserve seating, and sometimes you go to watch a movie in the middle of the day and there's like 8 people in the theater, but sometimes there's a person sitting in your seat, or at least like right next to your seat.
Which I selected because it's smack dab in the middle where I want to be in a movie experience.
Yep.
Yeah. And I feel, but I still feel awkward in an empty theater telling somebody, hey, you're in my seat.
Yep.
And yet, I'm not, it's not like I'm going to sit right next to him or right in front of him or anything. Right. I go off to the, so I feel weird. I feel like it's Karen-ish for me to say something, but I feel more and more like, no, next time I'm actually going to say something.
Yep. These are the texts that we're getting. People are garbage, Seth. Happy Friday. Irwin says, I'd like to see the guy who has the balls to ask Seth to move seats. Well, Seth would never do that, though. He wouldn't have to be asked to move because
but
you
no,
would...
that's the other part of it, though, is, okay, that guy's in my seat, but then I have to go and sit in somewhere else
the
where I
effect.
Might be in somebody else's seat.
The ripple effect, yeah.
Even if I'm not right in their seat, I might be in the general area, and I hate it.
Someone says this happens a lot at the rodeo. Oh, yeah, I see this at the rodeo. Committee members get in free with their badges, but they don't
have... Oh, and then
have...
they just go sit wherever the hell they want.
They don't have an assigned seat, right. They're always sitting... in your seat, and if you
entitled
want a side eye,
twats.
Yep.
Can I say that? Probably better dump that. Then
I don't know.
Yeah, dump that.
Ben
I'm not
did.
Sure if I'm allowed to say that or
yeah,
not.
I don't know.
They're entitled jerkos.
Yeah. You can say that. I would say. Seat stealers can go die. We got that one.
Okay.
Right.
Good.
Yeah.
I feel.
Yeah.
I. You know what? Yeah. I feel emboldened. I'm ready to do it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's saying you're out of line on this one. I watch matinees all the time by myself. I pick my seat for a reason. I want my seat.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I'm always even overthinking this.
You paid for the seat that you paid for. Get them out of your damn seat.
Yeah.
Sitting next to another person. These are all texts. Sitting next to another person at a theater where there's lots of empty seats is the same as urinal crowding. Where there are 8+ open options and a guy comes next to you in an empty bathroom and uses the... Yes. Yeah, I go... I max distance, urinal-wise. Yes.
Did I ever tell you the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me, other than the conventionally weird things that sometimes happen in a men's restroom? But the weirdest thing that ever happened was I was at an airport. It was in winter. And I was at a urinal. Some guy came in... and took the urinal next to me, which was fine because it was crowded. It was very, it was O'Hare. You know how crowded O'Hare gets.
I do.
And he takes his winter coat and he drapes it over the partition between us.
Oh, jeez.
To the point where his coat is rubbing up against me. And I had so many questions. I felt invaded.
Yeah.
I felt like my personal space had been invaded. And I also just wanted to ask him, what the hell are you doing putting your coat on this filthy urinal partition?
On the filthy urinal partition, and here's the thing, too. He does not know what your splash factor is when it comes to urinating in the urinal. There's,
right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
I might have had like a 3-hour transcontinental flight
yes.
and I've been just and drinking beer and everything.
There is a
I might
good,
be spraying up all over the place.
There's a good chance the entire right bottom side of the entire right bottom quadrant of his coat was covered in Seth Payne pee. There's a decent chance. And whatever else is hitting off the backsplash of the urinal you were. That's disgusting. That's
awful. I felt violated.
Oh.
I really felt violated. Oh. I felt like I needed to Me Too this. And, what did I do? I cowered. I didn't say anything.
No. I think the upshot of all this, you need to start sticking up for yourself more in these situations.
Yeah. I'm way too polite.
Yeah.
I am way too. I never want to be like whatever. I'm trying to live and let live, you know, in my later years, Sean.
Right.
I'm on the back nine.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And I just, maybe I'll get a few years over 100. Who cares? I don't care.
Yeah.
But I just, I'm trying to like live and let live.
Right.
And so there's these times where I'm like, I don't want to get upset. I'm not genuinely not upset about it, but I mean, seriously, like, come on.
You're doing this all wrong. As you peep into the future to when you're my age now, you forget about live and let live. You only got so many left on this. I am not living them uncomfortably. I'm sitting in my seat that I bought. Get your damn jacket off the partition, and you smelly kids that are sitting in seats that are not yours, get the hell out of here.
I don't want to be a grumpy old man.
Not grumpy.
I really don't want to.
You're doing the right thing. Look, grumpy because you're sitting in the seat that you bought.
This is
gonna
be an empty theater.
It's going to be a new Seth, I'm telling you right now.
I guess part of it, too, is the weird thing is if I were somebody that if I were in that same position and somebody came up to me, it's not like I would – if somebody came up to me and said, hey, you're in my seat, I'm always like, I'm so embarrassed when I sit in the wrong seat.
I am, too.
I feel so awful about it.
Yep.
So it's not like I'm even defending that person or anything because I would be in the – so you're exactly right, damn it.
Yep.
I can't wait for this to happen again
me
I can
too.
Come back with a report to
me
everybody.
Me, too. Yes. All right. Into the 9 o'clock hour we go. 9 o'clock on Friday, it is time for the horrible takes of the week. Take a mania. And speaking of Luka, defending champ is Nico Harrison right now, the general manager of the Mavs. Warning, there's a lot of Shedeur Sanders takes in the next segment for Take-A-Mania this week. We've got that for you coming up next.